Okay, so we're recording now, and the slides are up, and it's 5 o'clock. So Jan, if you want to go ahead and take it from there, we're live.
Great. Now, let me make sure I'm with the slides. All right. I am not seeing slides. Hold on, just a sec. Let's make sure I can. There they are. Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. So welcome, everybody, to Publishing 101, The Opportunities and Challenges of Becoming an Author Today. I'm Jan King, and I'm going to be your presenter for this session of Publishing 101. Just a little bit about my background. I'm the founder of eWomen Publishing Network, an organization I founded about 5 years ago. And prior to that time, I've been a consultant and coach to authors and publishers for about 10 years. And prior to that, I was the CEO of a leading LA book publisher. We had about 50 employees and did about 200 titles a year. And I had been doing that for 16 years and originally started as an editor. I've also written 3 books, one with an established commercial publisher and 2 others self-published. So I've got a pretty good well-rounded background in publishing that I hope we'll be able to draw on today, and I hope I can help you learn some of the ins and outs of book publishing. So becoming an author is really one of the most wonderful professional and personal accomplishments of a lifetime, and of course so many people desire to become authors, and I really find in working with a lot of authors that what separates people's ability to actually become an author is knowledge about the publishing process and also just persistence. The key is really to get the right information that you need so that you understand kind of what the publishing journey is all about, because it's certainly not a straight line. It can really seem like a maze. So our discussion, the discussion I'm going to have today with you, is mostly focused for people who are writing nonfiction books, the kind of books that contain factual information or opinions as opposed to fiction like novels or even books of poetry, something like that. But it certainly applies to those. Much of what I'm going to say applies to that as well, as doing informational products such as CDs or DVDs, or if you're doing seminar productions or anything like that. So let's just talk about why you might become an author. I do want to point out before we get started here that the book covers that you're going to see in this presentation are all from authors who I've worked with kind of start to finish on their books. Some of these authors are with established commercial publishers and others are self-published, but you'll be able to see that they have always worked with wonderful cover designers and they do a great job of visually representing their subjects, which is certainly an important part of eventual sales success. So why become an author? It's estimated about 80% of the adult population in the U.S. would like to become an author sometime during their lifetime. And the reasons generally fall into some of these kind of categories: to enhance a career or start a new one, to fulfill a personal ambition or leave a legacy, to get out information they feel is really needed, to make money, to find fame, to enhance credibility in a field of expertise. So those are some of the reasons that you might decide writing a book is for you. And, of course, becoming an author really does do a lot for your credibility. And once you write a book, you have that title of author for a lifetime, even if you never do another one. But whether you make a lot of money or you achieve fame can really be dependent on whether you really understand your audience and capture their imagination and do something really different between the covers of a book. And while that's hard to predict, of course, we're going to talk about the steps that we hope will help you increase your chances of success of taking your ideas and turning them into what we hope will be a really successful book. So what does it take to become an author? Writing and publishing and marketing a book in many ways is not quite as difficult as you might think. In other words, there are pretty well-defined steps to be able to follow. However, it does take a lot of persistence and patience and really having the courage to put your ideas out there, because that's not an easy thing for a lot of people to do. Most authors find that there are various times during the process of becoming an author that they have tremendous doubts about whether they should be doing this, can really do this, and they wonder if everything important has already been said in this area, who needs another book on this same subject, They worry that rather enhancing than enhancing their reputations, that actually writing a book might make people think what they've been afraid of all along, which is they really aren't that special and their ideas aren't really that great. So it does take a lot of courage to say, I'm going to do it anyway, even if I'm concerned about what it takes to become an author. And it's just important for aspiring authors to know that almost every author feels that way sometime in the process. On the slide in front of you, you'll see on the left-hand side something called the work of the author. This is a checklist, and this is downloadable from the screen as well, in some things that I think Zita sent you as well. This is a checklist that is somewhat helpful, we hope, in giving you just kind of a scope of the idea of what it is to become an author. Most of us think an author is just somebody who's published a book, and while that's true, there really is kind of a job description for an author and what are the roles that you take on, and we're going to talk a lot about that in this session. So again, just as an overview, let's talk about the how much time the process of writing and publishing a book can and maybe should take. I've certainly seen a book done start to finish in 6 weeks when somebody had all the material in another form, put a whole team of people on it, and worked full-time on it. But, of course, that's just not the average. And, knowing how long the process generally takes might help you have more realistic expectations of yourself and what to expect. Certainly the most time-consuming part of the process is the creation, the writing, which for many people takes years and years to do. It isn't just as simple as writing down something that you think or have expertise in. I really believe that writing a book is a true self-development process where you have to fill in all the missing pieces of your ideas so that they come together as something you can explain to someone else step by step. The process of writing really helps speakers and others who are kind of used to telling stories and getting up in front of people sometimes take their ideas all the way to the next level because they really have to think them through step by step. The publishing process can take, if you're self-publishing, a couple of months of work. It can, once the book is completed, to put it into the publishing process, and we'll talk about what that means, usually a couple of months for self-publishing and can take a year or more if you're working with an established commercial publisher. And then marketing and selling the book, really, as long as you want sales of this book, you're going to be involved in marketing and selling the book. So that can certainly be for the life of the book, or you can do new editions or do something else. So let's talk about the role of the author. It's really the job of every author to know exactly who they're writing for, who the audience is, who the target reader is, the person who your book is going to help or impact the most. It's also part of the author's role to figure out how to solve a particular problem for that target reader, and that's the work of most nonfiction books. If you think of the reason you go to buy a book, a nonfiction book, when you go to the bookstore, if you're having a relationship problem, if you're having a health problem, if you're having a money problem, some of the kinds of books that people most often buy, it's to help you solve whatever issue that you're having at that point in time. It's also the author who has to actually put their thoughts on paper and write the book and create any other products or services that might go along with the book. So really sitting down and creating the message and getting it out. The author's job is also to make sure that the publishing process is completed. So it's the author's job to make sure the information is available in the best way for the audience to access that. Right now, that's probably in a book. In a few years from now, that's probably predominantly going to be in some electronic form. But whatever it is, wherever your audience is, how to best reach them in a way that they'll be able to find it is part of the job of the author. It's also the job of the author, fortunately or unfortunately, to let people know that the book exists, which is to say to market it. And then finally, it's the author's role to actually sell the book, whether that's one copy at a time at speaking engagements or helping to sell large volumes to organizations. So it's definitely a big job, and you'll be much more successful ultimately if you understand what it is you really need to do, what you're responsible for, and what you can count on to have other people do. And so, it's just important to have a clear understanding of what the role of the author is. So I think there are really three steps to book publishing, and we've kind of alluded to some of them here. The first one is to create the manuscript, to actually do the writing and create something that's ready to be put in book form. The second piece is to publish the book. And the third and final piece is to market and sell the book. So we've talked, had a little bit of an overview up till this point, and now I really want to focus in on those three pieces and give you hopefully some practical ideas for how you can best get through those three parts of the process. So let's talk first about creating a manuscript, writing a book. When you start to think about writing a book, one of the first things that probably comes to mind is, what am I going to write about? Or the overall topic of the book. And typically you're going to write about something, you know, the old idea of write what you know. You're going to write something either related to your business or something you have a hobby that you're interested in or a passion you have for something in particular. Most writers do start writing what they know, but then they start doing some digging and some research, and they talk to other people, and they try to add to what they know to really make it a full and complete idea of something that would be book length and go, become a manuscript. The second thing you want to think about is the viewpoint you're going to take with this subject. So most of the time you aren't just writing factual information, but you're also advocating for something. So if you're going to write a book about the environment, either you're probably going to be convincing the audience that global warming exists, or you're going to be trying to convince them that it doesn't. So most of the time when you're writing a nonfiction book, you have an opinion about the topic, and this is what you're doing, is advocating that opinion. This is where it becomes important to understand that other books have come before yours. So if there are other books out on this topic, and actually we hope they are, it's important to have competition. It shows there's an audience for this kind of topic. You have to determine, how is your book going to be different? Is it going to be broader or more narrow in the coverage of the material than typically what's out there? Is it going to be for the lay person or for the expert? Is it going to be more serious in tone or more humorous in tone, more practical with checklists and how-tos, or more thought-provoking and maybe not answering all the practical questions but just leaving a lot of things open? However you select to address the topic, what we're hoping you do is you fill an open position in the market. So you want to create a book on a popular topic, but cover it in a new way. Do something unique with it, particularly if you can point out the elephant in the room that maybe all the other writers have missed or have avoided. This is something where you can really position your book versus other books that have come before and create something that's different and will get media attention and get new buyers that are interested in the subject, but you have a whole new perspective. So one of the most important things you can do as you start out is to get a very clear picture of the target reader. When you write a book, although it's going to be read by thousands or we hope even millions, as you write it, you're really just talking to one person at a time who is reading. And if you can define who this person is, maybe in terms of demographics, you know, their gender, their income, their marital status, as well as how they behave, what fears they have, what they're thinking, is this a woman with three kids who jogs every morning and eats health food, or maybe this is an overachiever business person who lives, eats, and breathes his business and doesn't really have time to read. Really understanding the problems, the concerns, the worries of the person who's reading the book will help you tremendously in creating a book that really addresses their concerns, and not only addresses them, but in the way that these people are most likely going to access this and what they're looking for. There's also practical things to decide about a book, maybe not right away, but in the course of writing it, and for instance, how long you want the book to be. A book can be anything that you want it to be, but a typical kind of nonfiction book is probably anywhere from 7 to maybe 15 chapters long, typically maybe around 200 pages. Certainly anything over 100 and up to 400 is probably, you know, in the running for what's a typical book. But if we look at a typical book of maybe 200 pages, this would be about 50,000 words long. The publishing industry thinks of books in terms of how many words there are, since how many pages is really a function of the size of the book and the type size. So, finally, a book rarely stands alone these days, and you'll want to think as you're writing a book about how to enhance the reader's experience with webinars, audio recordings, other things, particularly anything that will create interactivity with the web, such as an assessment or questions or additional resources, anything that will make this not just a two-dimensional experience of reading a book, but a third dimension where the reader actually has the ability to interact in some way, either with you directly or with your material. So something else that's very important as you're thinking about creating a book is emotional hooks, and that's actually on our next slide here. By now, I've mentioned several times that as an author, one of your primary missions is to understand your target reader, and it is with that depth of understanding that you're hoping to really touch them, to make changes in their lives, to really impact their actions, and we hope really to transform their thinking about the subject that you're covering in your book. So one way to think about your book is that you want to make it a real must-read for somebody who's in a particular emotional place. So, for instance, going through a divorce, determined to have a better relationship with their kids, wrestling with whether to keep a corporate career or start a new business, wanting more money, tired of working so hard and nothing to show for it, or maybe that they have enough confidence in themselves to take their own self-development to the next level. So these are the emotional hooks. These are where you find people who are your target readers. What are they thinking? What are they worried about? And how can you meet them at the place that they are emotionally so that they know that you get them, that you understand them? This is how to create trust with your readers so that they'll be more open to whatever it is you say in your book. They think, aha, this person really understands me, so they will come up with a solution that maybe I have not been able to. So in other words, you know, they're going to be open, they're going to be listening if you meet them here. And there's a lot of different ways to be able to do that. One of which we'll talk about in a minute here is to work with stories and anything that makes an emotional connection. But let's talk for a few minutes about the actual writing process. There are as many different ways to write a book as there are writers, of course, but the most important thing is for you to respect how you work best and figure out how to use your established style to write a book. So if you've heard that certain people get up every morning and write for an hour, and that just sounds awful to you because you're a night person, don't do that. You need to use whatever works for you. You know, if you're the kind of person who likes to stay up till all hours to finish a big project that's due the next morning at 8 a.m., then you probably need to write a book in the same way. If you can't even think about writing a whole book because it just seems so big, then write a blog. Come up with a list of topics or the things that might eventually fit an outline for your book, but use the blog to do it bit by bit. Some people just hate the idea of a computer screen and sitting down, and that's the most boring thing they can imagine is just writing for hours and hours. So the best method for them might be to sit down with a friend or a business coach and talk through the book and have it recorded and then transcribe that, and then they can edit from there. At least they're not starting with a blank page or a blank computer screen. However you think of it, entire books have been written by well-known authors in any of these ways. When you think about it, if you read a book you really enjoy, you don't know how it was written. All you know is what the end product looks like. So there are no rules for how it gets done. You can start with the last chapter first. You can start in any place you want to. As long as it ends up in a certain way, that's really what matters. And sometimes we really have to talk ourselves into being able to do this, to figure out how it's going to be best for us. So, you know, the bottom line here really is that if you're going to get a book done, you're going to have to find a process that isn't torture for you. You really only want to write when you feel pulled to write. When you're excited, you can't wait to sit down, you feel energized, and you really feel like you have something to say. I personally find that to be true right after I've worked with a client. So if I'm writing a book on a topic that I'm helping a client with, all the questions they ask, all the great advice I give, and I hear myself in my head, they ask me a question and I know just how to answer it, this is exactly how the tone of the book should be, and also the time where you generally feel the most confident about your ability to work is when you've just said this sort of thing to somebody one-on-one. So I really, I suggest if you're looking for a way to do this that you find time after you work with clients, after you teach, after your confidence is at a good level about the work that you're doing. So on the next slide, I also have something that I call one perfect chapter. So when I sit down to work with an aspiring author and we talk about the topic and the viewpoint and the target audience and all these background items, and they're ready to get down to work, here's what I suggest to them, that they create a brief, just a very brief overview outline of the major kind of topics or points that might be chapters. I mean, for instance, if somebody's got seven strategies to doing something, then maybe this is a natural way of having seven chapters. But that they pick the place that most excites them. So if they have a chapter that's chapter four, but this is something they've just been working with a client on or just taught a class about, then start with chapter four. And don't start with the introduction. If you think about it, you can't really introduce something that isn't written yet, so you want to write the introduction last. But start the place that's easiest for you, the most exciting place, the place you've already got a lot of information. This is one of those places where you want to do all the easy parts first and leave all the hard parts to the end, because by the time you get to the end, you'll have that energy of I'm almost finished working for you and you can get done. So within each chapter, there should be, just as there should be for a book, a beginning and a middle and an end. And if you think about your reader and how the reader comes to your book, the reader doesn't know you. The reader doesn't know what you're going to talk about and whether or not they're really going to be comfortable with what you have to say. Are you going to brile them up and get them all worried about things? Or are you going to be able to help them? So the first thing you want to do when you start to write a chapter is it is emotionally connect with the reader. Then you're going to impart important information and things you want them to know. And then finally, you're going to help them put all of this into practice. So one way to do this is to start with a story. And this can be a real story, like a case study that's out of a newspaper or something that you've read about. Or it can be a more personal story, either your own story or a story that comes from working with clients. And I suggest, unless it's a real true story about someone in the newspaper, that you just refer to people by their first name. But you want to give people an idea of how to really talk or how to think about whatever you're going to talk about in that chapter in a way that's going to really relate to them. So the story should be short, maybe just a couple of paragraphs or a page at most. And, you know, what you want your readers to be thinking through the story is, yeah, that's me. That's, you know, this person who's writing really understands me. That's exactly what it's like for me, this story about this particular person. And then you go on to talk about the how-to, the practical items of the chapter, the lessons you want the reader to take away. And then ultimately, you want to give them something that becomes a bridge between the theory that was in the book and what you want them to do with it when they put the book down. So maybe checklists, maybe things to think about, something, again, that lets them take your theory and put it into their work and use it in a practical way. I really can't recommend enough that you work with a book coach or somebody who has real publishing experience. It is very, very hard for people to do this naturally the first time. If you write a second or third book, you will have gone through the learning curve of really understanding kind of how to start with a story, how to transition to something else, and how to end up with something. But I think it's an awful lot to expect people who have never taken courses or never worked for publishing companies to create a book. This is a big deal. This is kind of like writing a PhD dissertation with no instruction or assistance or having nobody on your team to put this together for you. So a good coach will help you stay focused and on track, but even more importantly, will really give you feedback so that you have the confidence that you're writing a book that probably has a reasonable ability to be sold. You know, it's not just something that you're doing that's interesting, but that really has as a market and can be sold to a target audience. Okay, so clearly we're kind of doing a brief overview of book writing here because it's hard to get into every possible thing that you might want to know about. But just quickly, some of the other things on the next slide that you'll need to consider, which are if you're using any material that you did not create, if you've got quotes, statistics, other things, you may need permission, real written permission to do that. Once you have written a first draft of, you know, the first chapter, whichever chapter that is, and then the next one, and then the next one, and you finally have this book together, there's a substantial amount of rewriting and self-editing that goes into this. Many people have said that 11 times is kind of the norm for a book to be rewritten or self-edited, to go through each of the chapters 11 times making changes. And I think if you do this, you'll find I often do it many more times than that. It doesn't mean you do a wholesale rewrite. It just means you read it through, you find ways to improve it. Maybe you print it out again, you read it again, you find more ways to improve it. You go on to another chapter, you come back to this one. So there's just a lot that happens after a first draft is done. You're not at all finished at that point in time. A question I often get is protecting your intellectual property. And I just want to mention, because it's something that's not well understood, that the minute you write something, you automatically have created a copyright for that. That does not mean that's registered with the federal government, which is something different, but anything you do is automatically protected by copyright. You don't need to mail it to yourself or put anything on it or anything like that. I think it's way more important to keep going and not worry so much about other people taking your ideas. This is a highly unlikely thing, and unless you've got the secret ingredient for Coca-Cola, you don't need to worry too much about protecting your own intellectual property. Another thing that's very important, I think, when you finish a book and you get a draft done and you've done all the rewriting you can, is to get target reader and peer feedback. The clients I work with, I take through an entire process at this point where they select a half a dozen different people, some of whom are their target readers, others of whom are really part of their peer group, to review the book and critique it, and we ask them specific questions to get answers. This is important for a couple of reasons. First, just psychologically, if you've never had your work read by someone else, it is a very difficult thing to do, let alone allowing thousands or maybe even more people to read it if you publish this book. But it prepares you for feedback that inevitably you're going to get when you actually publish a book. It's also important, of course, to make sure you've done what you set out to do. Even when you work with a book coach, the book coach gets so close to the book that you start to lose perspective. And you really do want, before you go through the publishing process, the typical people who might read it to read it with a critical eye and let you know what to do. And then finally, you certainly want a professional editor to read the book, even if you're a tremendous writer. Professional editors find inconsistencies and better choices of words and all sorts of things that can really help us. And the more you can stay open to feedback, whether it's target reader or professional editor feedback, the better you will become as a writer over time. And we hope you'll write more than one book, and that this sort of learning process will help you get better and better as an actual writer. So, Zita, I don't know if we can take questions just for a few minutes, or we should do that at the end, but if we have questions on the manuscript portion of the process, I'm glad to answer those before we go on to talk about publishing.
Okay, let me unmute everybody, and we'll stop for a question and answer session, so hold on just a moment. And I think everybody should be unmuted by now. So if you have a question and you're on the web, could you please raise your hand by the controls, and then that makes it easier for us to pick someone to ask a question, answer a question of. Does anybody have a question?
And if you don't, that's fine, too, because we have plenty more information to go through. But I just wanted to give anybody a chance, if you had questions on this part of the process, the writing part, now would be a great time.
All right, then, since no one's raising their hand or asking a question, we're going to go ahead and mute everybody, and we'll turn it back over to Jan.
Great. Thank you.
And there you go, Jan.
Great. All right. So, Zita, let's go a couple of slides ahead here. So let's get into the next part of the process, which is the publishing part of the process. So we've talked about manuscript creation and writing and kind of what goes into that. And so you have this wonderful manuscript now that you've, had reviewed and edited, and it's ready to go. But it still, of course, basically exists only in your computer. The publishing process is about taking what is on your computer and putting it into a form that it can be sold and read to, sold to and read by many, many other people. But this is where you have to make another set of decisions. The first and most important, of course, is whether you're going to find an established commercial publisher or publish this book yourself. And just to define our terms here, an established commercial publisher is a company that puts up the money, makes an investment in your project. So they actually create the books and bring their expertise. What you sell to them is the exclusive rights to distribute this book, your intellectual property, really, in book form, and they pay you a royalty. In self-publishing, on the other hand, you make an investment in developing your ideas into book form, and you, since you made the investment, you spent the money, you're entitled to keep all the profits. You don't sell your rights to anybody, and you keep them to maybe sell later in another way or to use in any way that you want. Because the publishing world is a new one for most aspiring authors, there are lots of questions you probably want to have answered, and we will at least briefly try to talk about this, which is what are the steps involved, who does what and when, how much is it going to cost, and, you know, where can I find good advice about this. So we will try to cover those things. So you see on the screen in front of you a side-by-side kind of comparison of the list of pros and cons of finding an established commercial publisher or self-publishing, which really are the best two options. So, you know, as I said, the established commercial publisher buys the rights and pays a royalty, which is a percentage of sales to the author. Of course, it takes some work many times to get a publisher, and you have to create a compelling book proposal, and they have to read it and have some confidence in it that they can make money in order to decide to take your book on. They have a long-term timetable for the launch of their books. Publishing is is an older, established industry, and they have a way of doing business. And generally, it takes about 12 to 18 months after they sign a contract with you until your book actually appears on store shelves. Part of what they buy when they buy your rights is the right to package the book in a way they think will sell, because they bring their expertise. So they have control over the title and over the cover. They probably will ask for your input, but you need to know that if you go with an established publisher, they certainly have the final decision. That is part of what you signed away in terms of selling your rights. There are a few things you get when you work with an established publisher. You have less financial risk because, of course, they make the investment in producing the book. You may have, if this is important to you, you certainly have the prestige of saying your book was published by Random House or whomever published it, and that may or may not be important to you. But one certainly at least so far, a significant advantage is it's much more likely to be made available in bookstores if you go with an established commercial publisher. Now, self-publishing, on the other hand, allows you to keep the rights and all the control over your own intellectual property. You can get the book out a lot faster, as I've said before, usually at least in a couple of months once you're finished with the writing and editing process. Of course, you're responsible for all aspects of the process, and so since you're not a publishing professional, sometimes you miss out on the expertise of knowing what a cover should look like, how it should be appropriately titled, other things that publishing professionals that are the second nature for them. So it is all the more important that you find a really good team of people so that especially when you're going to take this big financial risk that you know you get the best expertise to make your book as professional quality as possible. So but please notice that on both sides of the ledger here, the author is responsible for most of the marketing and selling of the book. So don't assume that since if you don't want to do marketing and selling, you'll find a publisher and they'll take care of it. This certainly is not not the way it works. There's a download on the left side of your screen, an 8-point checklist for working with a publishing services company, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but that's something that will, I hope, help you after the call to decipher some of these differences. Okay, so let's talk next about the role of the author versus the publisher. You know, the author has certain responsibilities and the publisher has certain responsibilities, and of course if you decide to self-publish, you'll be responsible for both. So, you know, the author, in brief here, creates the work. They make sure that they really own all of the work or they get permission for what they don't own. They prepare the manuscript according to requirements. If they're working with a publisher or if they're working with a printer, they have to make sure it gets done in a certain way, and they certainly can hire people to do that. Or if they have a publisher, the publisher will assist with them. Usually the author has to meet some sort of contractual deadlines. Sometimes rewriting is needed. Authors have to proofread the work as well as expecting publishers to do it. Kind of a quirk of the industry, almost always the author has to either prepare or pay for the preparation of an index, and most of the time with a nonfiction book, an index is required, both just for professionalism as well as the publisher will require an index. And, of course, the author has to market and sell the book. Now, the publisher on the other end is really the professional, so they create whatever agreement there is between author and publisher. It is their job to make sure the work is going to appeal to the intended audience, so that's why they are responsible for the titling and the packaging. And part of that is to price the book correctly. Sometimes big mistakes are made in pricing and the books don't get the sales that you'd anticipate. So they literally physically produce the inventory. They get the cover done, they get the interior done, they get the printing done, and they get all kind of the numbers and listings and other things like the ISBN that is part of the professionalism of creating creating a book. They also file the copyright on behalf of the author, and incidentally, the copyright almost always, or it should, stay in the name of the author. It is the rights that are being sold to the publishing company, not the actual copyright. And then, of course, and this is what you hope a publisher will do, is make it available, get it out into distribution, hopefully so it could be purchased by bookstores or at least in catalogs and on Amazon. So, again, when the author becomes decides to self-publish, they become the author publisher, and they are responsible for all of these pieces. So even if you decide to self-publish at first, just know that you can still find an established commercial publisher later if you wish to. It would take us a long time to talk about the entire process and how to find a publisher, but just to give that to you in brief, if you decide that you want to find an established commercial publisher, or maybe you've self-published and now you're going to look for an established commercial publisher, the first thing I really recommend you do is to create a preferred publishers list. And the preferred publishers list is just those publishers who are most likely to publish your book. So if you go to a bookstore and you look in the section where you think your book would logically be if it were already published, then you look at who is publishing the books in that section. And these are the publishers who are most likely to publish your work because this is the topic that they work with it and they like to sell to this audience, so they're more likely to be interested in your book as well. Then, of course, you're going to need to write a great book proposal. And they certainly want this to be a good book, but they are particularly these days looking for author platform, which we'll talk about in a minute, the fact that the author has a lot of charisma and might be great on television or on the radio or in some other way be a great advocate for the book and the topic. They love it when authors have national speaking experience and ongoing speaking that they expect to do in the future, even before the book is out, any national media that you have done. If you have a database, for instance, maybe 2,000 email contacts that you have accumulated in your professional database so that they know you have a ready and willing audience. They love to see that sort of thing, too. And if you have affiliations with any organizations that might buy large quantities of the books, that alone sometimes is enough to get them interested in the book. Personal connections, I just want to say something about that. It makes a huge difference if you have a personal connection with a publisher. So if you're thinking about finding an established commercial publisher, you really want to start figuring out who you know that's an author and can they connect you with an editor. Other people, if you go to networking meetings and you just start talking about, I'm really interested in publishing with Sourcebooks, does anybody know an editor there? You'd be surprised. You know, somebody might say, yeah, my cousin or my sister-in-law or somebody works there, and that is the kind of connection you need. So it would be a big mistake to send a book proposal into a publisher without addressing it to an individual. So those sorts of personal connections, even if they seem slightly distant, are important. Up on the screen, you'll see two sets of books. There's a top two and a bottom two. On the left side, in both cases, is a self-published book. The top one was Smooth Selling, and her self-published book became published actually by Sourcebooks as Nice Girls Do Get the Sale. The bottom book was self-published as The Powderbox Secrets and became Secrets Girls Keep that was published by HCI that did the chicken soup books. So I see this happen every day, and just wanted to give you a couple of examples of people who've done successful self-publishing but have decided, you know, I want bookstore distribution, I just want a higher profile, and they've taken their books and easily sold them to established commercial publishers. Okay, so next thing that I just want to touch on here is when we're talking about the self-publishing process is just the number of steps that are in the process, and it's really not as large as you may think. Once a manuscript is completed and edited, there are certain things, and proofread, I should say, certain things that the publisher, or if it's the author, it's the publisher, certain things that you will need to do. And we are not going to be going through all of these things, but if you look at some of the pieces on work of the author and other pieces you may see, these are kind of the typical things. And again, I just wanted you to get an idea that this is a manageable list. Finding and getting the ISBN series for the book, and you get a whole series, but you assign one to the book. Pricing the book, having a barcode that includes the price and the ISBN. Library cataloging information, which you've got to get before the book is published. Deciding what categories, bookstore categories, the book fits in, and even if you are not planning to sell in bookstores, there's a professionalism about putting categories on the back cover on the top left. Again, getting the front cover done in a way that's professional quality, getting the interior done, getting the book typeset, the back cover, very important to have high-quality testimonials, things that will really sell the book. Getting an index is pretty much a standard of professionalism for almost all nonfiction books. Getting that book to the right printer who's going to do the right things for you, doing one final proof, getting it printed, and then ultimately within 90 days of printing, getting the copyright registration. So, again, just wanted to give you a sense that this is a manageable process for most people, and most people think it's much bigger or scarier or there's a lot more to it than there actually is. Now, one thing I really want to stress for you, and this is where this 8-point checklist of working with publishing services firms comes in. You can do all of these steps that I've mentioned yourself. You can be coached through the process. You can work with virtual author's assistants who help people get through the process. And certainly you can hire professional freelancers, cover designers, editors, other people who will help you do this. Some people don't want to go through all of that and manage the process, so they want to work with one firm, and these firms really right now are called publishing services firms that will do all of these pieces for you. Now, there are two types of things you have to look out for here. Publishing services firms are really like if you went to Kinko's to get something printed, they don't try to sell you a bunch of additional things in terms of getting your work printed. You take it, they print it, you pick it up, and that's the end of it. Publishing services firms are really like that. They are printers, but they do other things for you as well. But the main thing is when you have a contract with them is that you keep all your rights. You own the format and the art file. So in other words, you can take that cover or that interior and take it anywhere you want, and you keep all of the profits. There are other groups that sometimes call themselves publishers, call themselves print-on-demand publishers. They are really what is known in the industry as subsidy publishers, where you do the paying up front, just like if you were self-publishing, but then they keep some of the rights, and they make it hard for you to take your book elsewhere. And worst of all, in my mind, they keep part of the profits. They pay you a royalty and keep part of the sales of your book. You do not have to do this. I'm personally not at all in favor of authors who want to self-publish using subsidy or print-on-demand publishers. Author House, Infinity, there's a whole variety of them that call themselves publishers, but really they both make you pay on the front end, which is the downside of self-publishing, and they take money out of the back end, which is the downside of working with an established commercial publisher. So they actually are the worst of both worlds for the authors. On the other hand, publishing services firms, you know, allow you to keep the rights and all these other things we've talked about. So if you'll go through the 8-point checklist for working with publishing services firms, I have said very specifically, if you find a contract that limits your ability to move the book or not take the artwork with you, or you have to buy a quantity of books or something like that, that's a big red flag that's a subsidy publisher, not a publishing services firm, and in my mind, you're not getting what you pay for. You would be better off finding a publishing services firm or going out and doing these things yourself. And again, it's not a huge list. It's not as bad as it seems. I've coached many, many people through the process, and you can do it yourself. Another question that, of course, always comes up is really, what should I be paying for these sorts of services? So I've put on the next slide just a round publishing budget. Again, these numbers can vary widely up or down, but here's roughly what I think it's going to cost. Generally, it's going to cost you at least $5,000 and probably closer to $10,000 by the time you have finished to self-publish a book in a high-quality way. And by the way, we really haven't had time to talk today about e-books, but obviously this is going to be more and more important over time. Probably on top of this, it's another $100 only to have your book converted to an e-book. And right now, to have it converted to be put on Amazon Kindle, that's probably about $400, but that's going to come down a lot over time. Kindle has not made it very easy to translate books that are ready to be printed into Kindle format. Again, we don't have a lot of time to discuss how important the quality of what you're getting is here, but please, please do not try to save money getting less expensive cover design or editing. Those are the two things I think if you really need to have a tight budget, please do not try to do a cover yourself or find people that, your neighbor or your best friend or somebody who, was really good at graphic arts but doesn't have a real book design background. Book design is something that's very, very special and unique, and good designers know exactly how to draw someone's attention to a certain place and make the book design, make people feel a certain way, get an emotional response, which ends up, we hope, in book sales. So, some round numbers here, a couple of $1,000s for editing, maybe for this is roughly what you'd pay maybe for a 200-page book. The interior design and layout, if it's very simple and it's mostly just text, it's on the lower end. If there's a lot of graphics or illustrations, it may be in the higher end. Cover design, I've seen cover designs $10,000 and more, where somebody has paid someone to do an original work of art for a cover. But I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a cover design of less than $1,000 that's professional quality, but a couple of thousand is probably the norm for that. The ISBN, the barcode, the copyright registration, all of those things, another $300 or so, probably $500 for indexing, about $750 maybe for proofreading, and then books and getting them actually printed rather than print production, probably going to pay $2 and more per book when you do them print on demand, when you do them just-in-time inventory. And, of course, there are a variety of other things you may have to pay for, such as professional assistance when you're looking at the actual budget. So, again, just a brief of what you might expect. So, Zita, I don't know if you want to open it up for questions about publishing, or maybe we should just forge ahead and go through book marketing and then handle all the questions at the same time. I think in that case, what we'll do is just keep going. And
Jan, I was muted. We do have four questions, and it might be a good pace breaker now to just stop and answer a few questions, and then come back into the marketing side of the books.
Great. Okay.
And I did. I've emailed you the questions. I don't know if you've received them.
I have. You want me to go ahead and talk about them?
Sure.
Great. All right. Barbara had a question about, she says, I thought you couldn't copyright ideas. This is absolutely true. You cannot copyright an idea, but you can copyright the expression of an idea. So the moment your pen hits the paper and you write something, then it becomes a copyrightable piece of information. So the idea, when it's still in the idea form and in your head, there's no place to register ideas and say, this was mine, you can't take it. But when you express the idea in written form, that becomes immediately something that's not just subject to copyright, but it has already been copyrighted by making that expression. So, Barbara, add to that question if you want to, if I'm missing what you're asking. But you're absolutely right.
And, Jan, if I could just interject for a minute. For those of you who are on the phone with us, if you have a question and you would like to ask, if you would push star 2, that'll let me know. I'll be able to see that you've raised your hand and want to ask a question, and I will unmute you so that we can do that. And so, Jen, go ahead and answer the next question, please.
Well, there's a question from Lori. What sort of credentials should a professional editor have? In my mind, a professional editor probably should have worked for a book publishing company of some size. This is not always 100% true. There are really good editors who've never done that. But, you know, you don't learn editing in college for the most part. You know, you could be an English major, but English majors, they don't teach you how to write a book in it as an English major. The publishing industry is kind of unusual, or maybe it's not. I think of it as unusual, is that you kind of work at the feet of masters to learn things. So when you become an editor, a junior editor at a publishing company, you work with senior editors, and they teach you the trade, things that you would never otherwise know about how books should be edited. And it is really mostly through someone working for more senior people at publishing companies that people learn to actually edit in the right way. And editing is a lot more than just grammar and punctuation and all those things that are part of that. That's part of what copy editing is. But it's also really understanding how best to communicate a subject to a reader, what type of reader you're looking at, and how, what kind of word usage, length of sentence, a whole lot more that goes into editing. So I think the best background is having been an editor at a publishing company, but certainly at a minimum having edited a lot, and maybe that's 20 or more, of nonfiction kinds of books, and books that you can actually look at. You'd like to really know that somebody has edited books that you could order one and actually look at the quality of it and get a sense that they've done a good job. The other thing I would suggest about editing, and some editors are concerned about doing this, but I always try to ask them to do it if you don't have a personal recommendation for an editor, which, by the way, is probably the best way to find a good editor, is someone in the publishing industry who knows somebody has a high-quality background. But ask someone to edit a piece of a chapter, maybe one chapter, at least maybe 10 pages, so that you get an idea if they're doing what you want them to do. You don't want them rewriting everything. You want them to do what's called querying, which means, do you really want to say it this way? Here's another suggestion, so that they maintain the tone of voice of the author. So I hope that helps a little bit. We have another question. I think it's from Angel. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, about bringing a book to market. And I'm going to defer that because that's the whole next section we're going to talk about. And if there's if you still have a question after we've gone through the next section, I'll be glad to try to answer it. And Zita, okay. I think there's one more question, again, from Lori here, that says, when an author contracts with an agent and the agent recommends the book be professionally edited, does the editor typically pay for that, or does the agent typically take on that cost? Well, Lori, I hate to tell you the bad news, but typically the author will take on any and all costs that are required to get the book to a publisher. Some agents even charge authors for the photocopying of any manuscripts or the FedExing of things. So agents don't take on those sorts of things at all. And let me mention something about agents, because I've just this is such a brief call. We're obviously not able to touch on everything. I don't think you need an agent for a nonfiction book. It is in many ways harder to find an agent than it is to find a publisher for a nonfiction book. By far, and I don't know what the number is now, but my guess is about 90% of books that are sold to publishers that are nonfiction, again, not fiction. Fiction, you do need an agent, but a nonfiction book, about 90% of them are sold directly to publishers without an agent. An agent will charge you 15%, and they may or may not be able to do better than you would be able to in taking that book direct to a publisher. So, Lori, I would suggest if you can, you try to do the process yourself without an agent, and of course I'm happy to talk to you about how that might go.
Fabulous. Okay. And Jen, I just wanted to give you a time check. We're about 37 minutes to the end of the time slot.
Great. That should be perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
All right, so we should go on to the next slide and the third step kind of in the process here of getting a book published and out, which is marketing and selling the book. So again, you know, it's kind of a quick overview of how to write a book and how to get it published, and so we'll kind of head out the same way as far as book marketing. And Zita, if we can go one more slide ahead here. So marketing, books, as in any kind of marketing, is kind of part art and part science. And really each book and each author is different, but in general, things that work for marketing products also work well in the publishing industry. Again, you know, how you market your book really depends on the subject matter, how well you're able to speak, if speaking is a good venue for you to sell your book, and your ability to attract attention for the topic. You know, a lot obviously depends even on current trends, what's happening in the world market, and really a variety of other factors. But regardless of how you decide to market, and we will talk a little bit about the different ways to market a book, it takes a tremendous amount of time and energy and real persistence and tenacity to market a book. I've seen way too many people who do everything else right get to this point in the process, and maybe after 4 months they say, this book isn't selling, I give up, I really can't, you know, this is taking too much of my time, I can't do it. This is a slow and steady wins the race. It can take a long time for you to start seeing the sales that you think should have happened right away. If you think about it, there's so many books that come out, and your audience doesn't even know your book exists. You know, a typical, if you take, you know, marketing classes and you think about this, people will tell you sometimes that it takes 7 different views of something till somebody really puts those 2 things together. So they might have to see your book cover or the fact you've written this book a lot of different times through a lot of different sources before they finally say, you know, I need this book. So it is your job as the author to be persistent and to get out to as many places you can with this book. Another thing that's generally really neglected in terms of marketing is the minute the book comes out, somebody wants to just start selling them. And you have to really go back to basics and think, okay, who did I write this book for? And where am I going to find them? And what problem is it solving? So can I really go speak to these groups and talk in a real emotional way about, not about the book, but about the people and the problems you're solving? So much of book marketing is about selling yourself as an author and not selling the book, because when someone buys your book, they are taking a piece of you home with them. They are not buying a book per se. They are buying some part of you that they were inspired by you or impressed by you or thought you would have the answers to their problems, because it's all about your audience. It is not about you as the author. It is about what is happening with them and how you can help them with their lives. The other thing to really consider is how the media looks at books. You know, the media, if you had a book right now about what causes men to have affairs, you would be in the prime position to be talking about Tiger Woods. And, you know, you could probably get on some news media as an expert about this. They could care less that you have a book, but if that were the topic of your book, you would be selling yourself as an expert about something that's currently in the news. One of the most difficult ways to sell books is to send out press releases and say, guess what, I've got a new book. The media could care less about that. But if you're an expert and you can comment on something, then the book just becomes credibility. And, of course, they will mention, you know, so-and-so author of the book, such-and-such. So this is, you know, the way you think about how to market a book is going to be very important in terms of your success. The fact that you're really selling your expertise and coming along with you is this book. You know, there's many kinds of marketing channels that you can consider working with, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but that's less important than really understanding who the audience is, how they buy, what they're looking for, and the fact that they want you. They want to understand the author and take a piece of you home with them. So let's talk a little bit about the author platform. You've probably heard this if you're not familiar with it. This is something that a phrase that's mentioned all the time, and it's really your author platform is your established audience. It really represents the reach you already have in the marketplace most of the time before the book comes out. These are the natural people that already are fans of yours, and so they would be interested in buying a book. So if you think of somebody like Dr. Phil, who has already a platform to stand on, the minute he comes out with a book, he's already got a natural audience to buy. It almost doesn't even matter what the book is on. He's got a fan base that are going to buy whatever the next book is that he's got. So So the more ways you can create an author platform, the better. If you have done media in the past, then you have connections with the media that you can do in the future. So even if you're just in the process of writing a book right now, to begin to talk about your topic. Again, it's not important. You know, don't worry too much about giving away the store and telling everybody things for free that you want them to read in the book. It's really about getting your name and your expertise on a particular subject out. So even, again, before the book is written, as you're writing the book, see if you can get media opportunities and make connections with reporters that then you might be able to talk to about making comments about important stories later. Speaking engagements, really important for a variety of reasons to get out and speak. And it's tough for a lot of authors who tend to be introverted people sometimes and they're not comfortable with speaking. So you can start in small groups, start in a way you're comfortable with, you know, do panels, do group kinds of things. But again, get out and develop your expertise in something. One of the reasons it's important to do speaking is because it actually helps you write your book. When you get feedback from an audience, you hear what they respond to, you see what where their heads are nodding, you have a good idea that you're on target, that you're hitting home, that you're making an emotional connection. And whatever you're saying to them is exactly what you need to be saying in a book as well. But speaking will be important before in order to develop the book, and it'll be important and afterwards in terms of getting yourself out there. If people like you when you're speaking, they're going to naturally want to buy your book. That's just the nature of how it works. Memberships, you know, you might be a member of an organization or multiple organizations who are perfect. They're the target audience for this book. So if you are a member of a large women's organization, and maybe this organization is happy to either review your book, mention it in their newsletter, maybe even buy a quantity of them to give away to new members, things like that, that can be very helpful. Again, we mentioned before your database. Hopefully on your website you have either your personal website, or if you're developing a website for the book, you have something that says join our mailing list or get a special report or something, so you incentivize people to add their email name to your list so that when you have a new book that comes out or something new, you automatically have a database to work with. I have noticed recently a number of publishers have really put a lot of weight on they always put a lot of weight on media opportunities and national media speaking. It always put a lot of weight on that, but particularly the database. If you have a database of 5,000 different people that might buy your book, that is very impressive to publishers, and it's just a way to enhance your author platform, so you should be doing that at all the time. I have to tell you personally, I got a publishing contract with John Wiley & Sons based solely on the fact that I had a volume purchaser for my book. I had an organization that said, if you get this book published, we'll buy 8,000 copies, which they did, and just on the weight of that alone, I got a publishing contract. So this may or may not be, you may or may not be developing a platform for a publishing contract. You might be doing it just to sell your book, which is reasonable, but I sold 8,000 all at one time, which is a lot faster than going to a lot of speaking engagements and selling 20 or 50 or 100 even at a time. So volume purchases are really important. Find organizations that fit with the topic and are interested in your work, and see if maybe they would buy them as incentive books for, you know, again, new members or somebody who they want to give gifts to or something like that. Another important piece for the author platform is people that you have a connection with who are authorities or are celebrities. You know, celebrity sells books, and if you can get a foreword written by a famous person who, you know, has a PhD, is an MD, or has some name recognition, this is certainly impressive to publishers and just part of your author platform, because it will just, it's another way you can differentiate yourself and be noticed. So again, important things to consider before before you're writing, as you're writing, and after you're finished as well. So the author platform is really all about your potential to sell books once you have a book out. You know, right from the start, but when it comes to actually selling books, again, that takes tremendous commitment and perseverance to be out there making calls, doing speaking, maybe going to trade shows. Selling books is really hard work. And, you know, when you think about what we charge for books, which I think is a shame, we only charge $10 or $15 or $20 or, you know, as much as $25 for a book the amount of work and effort that goes into a book, number one, but then secondly, the value of a book. Sometimes books transform our lives. They make huge differences in our lives, and we don't sell them for very much money. But when you think about it, you have to sell a lot of copies to make back the money you spent. Even if you got a publisher, there is money that's involved in this whole process, let alone your time, which, of course, you really can't charge for. But, you know, for you to become profitable, it really does take a lot of books. Most authors sell most of their books through back-of-the-room sales at speaking engagements, either speaking engagements that they have created, so in other words, seminars and workshops on the topic, or speaking for others at conferences. This really is the number one way most authors sell books. Sales through websites, your own and Amazon, is becoming a more and more important component, and particularly as we talk about e-books and other ways to get books that are, you know, going to be even more important in the coming years. Again, if you have the right book, then selling volumes of the books to associations and companies can be a very profitable way to do business. You know, please notice that I haven't even mentioned bookstores yet, because self-published authors really can't get into bookstores. And even if you could, bookstores are not a very profitable way to sell. You generally have to discount a book 60 to 70%, that sort of area, in order to get it into a bookstore, because there's a number of middle people that have to be paid along the way. So selling, discounting a lot less and selling in other ways is a much more profitable way to go. And if you can do it, then you'll be better off. You also have to be wherever your target audience is. And it's one of those things, if you can go and get in front of a target audience and speak to them, then that's a good reason to self-publish, because you already know where to go for the audience. If you don't, and it's an audience that really relies on bookstore sales, then you might need to get an established commercial publisher to get the distribution into bookstores that will allow you to sell as many as possible. Another thing that I always want to mention is that most authors make more money from an increase in their own primary businesses or in their careers than they do directly from book sales. So there's a big expectation for people that I'm going to write this book, I'm going to make a lot of money, and that doesn't mean it won't happen, but it generally takes a lot longer than you think. But other products that you might sell that are related, and other business that you might be getting from, you know, consulting and coaching and doing other things related to your topic, are more likely to pay you back, and more likely to pay you back much sooner than the books themselves. So let me talk for a minute about sales expectations and what you can expect from selling the book, because this is certainly a question I get all the time, is how many books do you think I'll be able to sell? And, you know, most of the time when somebody is very passionate about their book and they tell me about it, they really want me to say, oh, that's a million seller. You're going to be able to sell just millions of those books. But, you know, the truth is that's hard to say. That has a lot to do with the authors getting out. It has a lot to do with even the cover. It has a lot to do with the timing and what is in the news. So, you know, another thing to think about is that, and this is absolutely true, and I see this every time I talk to authors about books, you're going to sell more books in your second year than you did in your first year, and you're going to sell more in your third year than you did in your second, if you have a consistent marketing effort. So the idea that you're going to come out with this book and in the first 6 months you're going to sell 100,000 and you're going to, you know, make a lot of money is probably not true. That's just something that doesn't happen for most authors, and I would love to give you the expectation that that's going to happen. But you'd be, you know, to set an expectation, again, you can have a much larger goal than this, but if you can make back the money you spent in the first year, then you were doing very well as an author. So let's say, for instance, if you look at, you know, a self-published book, and you spent $10,000 to self-publish it, and, you know, maybe you sell the book for $20, but you have to discount it, so maybe, and plus with the printing, then maybe you net $10 a book. If you look at it that way, just very simple math, if you net $10 a book, you're going to have to sell 1,000 books to make up for the $10,000 that you spent for the book. And selling 1,000 books in a year is a pretty significant thing to do. There's many self-published books that don't do that well. There's also a lot of self-published books where the author spent a lot more than $10,000. So, but if whatever your budget is and whatever you do, if you can make enough to get to that break-even point and become profitable in your first year, you're doing very well. You know, set your goals much, much higher, but think of your expectations so that you're not going to be disappointed if it doesn't happen right away. And if you think about it, if you made the investment in a business of some sort and it became profitable during the first year, you'd actually feel very good about that. That is really the way you hope a business runs, and this is part of a business, is to invest in a book and sell it and become profitable. So this is, you know, to set expectations so you won't be disappointed. I think if you can get back to break even during your first year, you're doing great, because then everything after that is profitable, which is really, really tremendous. You will always make more than it costs you to print once you've made up for the first year expenses. And just to take a look at this as a comparison, at the established commercial publishers, to get to break even for them, they need to sell 10,000 to 20,000 books, and sometimes it's even more, depending on how much money they spent on the advance to the author, on producing the book, because some of these books are very expensive to produce, and their own overhead. You know, it costs a lot to have editors and a lot of other people working on books. So their break even, they look at usually at least 10,000 and sometimes more than that. So this is what they're looking at, and 9 out of 10 books, unfortunately, do not break even at the major publishers. So they don't sell those kind of quantities. So in case you think everyone is selling millions of books and you don't understand why you've only sold 2,000, that would be a really good number. Book sales numbers are highly inflated, and this gives everyone the idea that they should, that they're not doing very well, when in truth, often they're doing much better than they think. So let me talk at the last here just about marketing plans for your book. I think just like any other product that you might want to sell, when you think about doing marketing, to make a plan for what's going to work best for you is, you know, is the responsible thing to do. You won't get caught up in, gee, maybe I should spend $10,000 and get somebody to do a publicity campaign for me. There's kind of good ways to approach book sales, especially right at first. If you think about it, when you come out with a new book, nobody even knows your book exists. And if you spend a tremendous amount of money right away when no one knows it exists, it probably isn't going to help you very much. But if you create the buzz for the book and the interest for the book in some low-cost or no-cost ways for the first, at least, I would say, 6 months, then if you want to invest in publicity or a publicist or do other things, then at least you've gotten some of the basics done so that the publicist has something to work with. You've gotten some media. You're out there doing speaking, something. Because if you just start from scratch and you spend a lot of money, all that money just won't go to what you hope it will. In terms of the basics that you just absolutely got to have, you've got to have some sort of website. And, you know, you want to cover, you want to have the factual information for the book, the table of contents, any kind of endorsements or testimonials that you've got. Certainly a way to buy the book, a way to, for people to join your mailing list, a blog probably, but just things that especially allow for people to have a link to buy, number one, and secondly, to have a way for the media to find you and to get information. 10 interview questions you'd like to be asked by the media, downloadable photos of the author and the book, places that the media can come to. And I can't tell you how many times I have been called last minute for an interview. In fact, I was just interviewed for my book, which came out over 5 years ago. I was just interviewed by New York Newsday, and there was an article that just came out December 7th on New Year's resolutions for your business. And I had a section, the little box in my book about New Year's resolutions for your business, and someone called me and said, I've got something going to press tomorrow. Can you send me more about that? And I was able to do it. But they found me through my website. And I have enough things on the website so that they know they can get what they need very quickly from me and be able to write an article. So journalists and especially broadcast media, they need stuff today. And your website needs to be kind of the hub for where they can find everything. testimonials and getting book reviews is an ongoing thing from before your book is actually published forever. And you always want to add those to, you know, the back cover over time, to selling information, to your website. Anytime you get a great book review or a new endorsement, that's added on. And, of course, those things are free. That's no cost. Same thing is true with Amazon. Amazon is one of the most powerful tools authors have now, and it's completely free. You can, you know, you have your own page for the book. You can add to the content. You can have a blog. You can have reader reviews. You can add your own reviews. There's so much you can do for no cost at all. And so if you haven't updated your Amazon page on your book and done everything you can with it, I really encourage you to do that. If you go to amazon.com/publishers with an S, that will give you all the information as a self-publisher to how to get the search inside the book done, everything you need. And anytime I'm considering buying a book, I'll go to the Amazon page and just check it out and see who's reviewed it, how much stuff is there, and see if there looks like there's a lot of excitement for the book or not. And I'll make a buying decision based on that, even if I buy it at a bookstore or someplace else. So make sure you use Amazon to the full extent. Book launches. You know, nowadays, you're not seeing many people go out on book tours. Most of this is done virtually. Email campaigns, social networking, all these things are using the internet, email, which, of course, is low cost or no cost at all to get the word out about the book. So please, you know, consider how you can do this yourself or maybe with the help of an author's assistant or somebody who can do some of the actual work for you. But those, all these things are very effective ways of beginning to market and sell the book. You know, continuing to do your own speaking, looking for opportunities for these special sales, these incentive book sales where you sell a large number to organizations. These are things you want to keep up over time. Usually in the second year after your book has come out, there are book awards. I've got a lot of authors I've worked with who've gotten book awards, and this kind of brings the attention back to the book in its second year. It is only after you've done all those things on a consistent basis that I would consider hiring a publicist, which can be, you know, $2,000 a month and up, if you really want to get some more publicity or get some more media, and put them on a targeted thing. Here's where I want to be. I want to be in the New York Times. What can you make happen? Or do you have the connections? Do you think you can get me into Entrepreneur Magazine? Don't do it at first is my advice to you, is do the things that are low cost and that you can do at first and ramp up. And when you've got some local media, then that's the time the national media would want to pay more attention to you. So we've gone through all of this material, of course, in a hurry, and there's an awful lot here, and I hope it hasn't been too overwhelming for you. I'm hoping that you will consider making this sort of investment in yourself of writing a book. There are a lot of people who have something really worthwhile to say that ought to be in a book. I think developing a book is a process. You know, you don't, even though it sounds like we've been talking an awful lot here, this is a one step at a time kind of thing. And you can get great professional help. You do want to make sure that anybody you work with has worked, as far as I'm concerned, again, with a publishing company of some stature, so that you have an idea they really understand the publishing industry and how to position your book within the bigger world of publishing. But, you know, if you want to write a book, then get started the soonest you can, because, again, you can become a published author and you're an author for a lifetime. You have then that intellectual property. And I'm always amazed at what happens for people after they publish books. Generally, things they never would have expected. It's always something new and surprising and different. But you kind of open a door for yourself, and then you can do more if you choose to. But if you don't, you know, there's people who want to do a book, it's always there, and until they get it done, there's always something that they feel is not finished. So, Zita, why don't we open it up for questions? That's the entire presentation, and if I can answer questions for anybody, I am happy to do about any part of the process.
Okay, everybody is open. The microphones are now open, and we're ready to take any questions that you might have. It still would be beneficial if you have a question, if you'd do *2 so that we can call on you, so that we don't get a lot of talk over each other here. Jan, that was fabulous. Thank you. That was such an incredible amount of information. And I'm sure that the folks that are listening in are checking off these lists and planning for a book in 2010.
Good. I hope so. That would be great.
Okay. Do we not have any questions, seriously?
I probably overwhelmed them completely, Vita.
That could be. I've just checked online, and there are no new questions from the folks who are listening in over the line. Okay, Stacy has raised her hand. Stacy, would you like to ask a question, please?
Yes. So, Jan, when should you start the marketing process if you're still in the process of writing your book? And what are suggestions on the best way to start that if you're still in the writing process?
Yeah, here's where it gets tough, because when I work with people, I want them to focus mostly on writing the book, because it's such a big process that if I tell you, oh, think about publishing and start working on the marketing, then you're going to say too much. You know, I just can't deal with it. Yes, it is good to start the marketing process, or at least start thinking about it. I wrote a book, and I did a first edition, a second edition, and now I'm on the third edition of it. And in every case, I realized what I missed the first couple of times and finally kind of incorporated into the third edition. If you can think about marketing all the time, the main job of the writer is to communicate this information in a way that your target reader is going to readily accept it and understand it and enjoy it. I have found, again, by doing multiple editions, that finally by the third edition of this book, I started doing checklists, top 10 lists, other things that the media immediately picked up. So although it's great to do speaking engagements, as I mentioned, because it gives you a chance to get feedback on the book, I think the number one thing you can do is make sure you understand the reader so that you'll have a book that's worth marketing by the time you get to that process, and build in media-friendly kinds of things. It's very important to consider, you know, if you put in top 10 lists and things, that's very easy for the media to use immediately. And it's also helpful for your reader, but it's a very media kind of friendly thing. So, you know, there's plenty of other things you could do, but I think focusing, or allowing yourself the time to focus on writing the best book you can is the number one thing to actually give yourself, get ahead on the marketing. So I hope
that's cool. Super.
There's just so much one could do.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Stacy. Are there any other questions? If someone would like to raise their hand, we can go ahead and answer questions. Jan, you know, in regard to what Stacy was just asking about, I have a kind of a comment from my side of the water on this, in that recently I've had three different friends who were in the process of writing books, and they basically fell off the edge of the earth, like they just disappeared while they were writing their books, which is
right, fine.
But the thing is that the minute their book was done, they were surprised and shocked that everybody wasn't thrilled and in position to do great things for them. And I've been telling people, if you're going to write a book, you can't just fall off the face of the earth like that. You need to keep people engaged with you as you're going through the process so that they will be excited when your book is done. They'll feel ownership on it in a way, because they've watched over your shoulder, they've heard the things that you're doing, and they've watched your characters develop or whatever, and they feel committed to helping you get going on the sales side of it. Does that resonate at all with you?
Yeah, totally. I think that's really important. But, you know, if you're the kind of person who just has to focus completely and you have to, as Zita put it, drop off the face of the earth, I mean, if that's what you have to do, then you have to do a reintegration and get people excited again. You can't, as she said, just appear and say, okay, book ready, everyone buy it now. They won't have the sort of buy-in. So you do have to connect with people through a blog, through, you know, starting to speak about the topic again if you haven't been doing it. This is why when someone finishes a book and they publish it and they say, here it is, and they sit back and wait, the sales do not pour in. In fact, they don't come in at all at first. I think it's one of the most disappointing things for authors to have a book published and have no sales at all, and they just can't believe it. But no one knows the book is done, and no one has an investment in buying it, and it is up to you to start those wheels in motion. So if you're going to disappear, just know that it's going to be several months until you've started to generate that enthusiasm. Or if you're, you know, if you could multitask well enough and keep up the enthusiasm, then you have a better chance of getting people to buy right away and you know, get them invested. But yeah, Zita, you're absolutely right. It's just so hard. It's so hard for people to write books that I understand the wanting to kind of just hibernate and do it.
So, Jan, since we don't have any other questions coming in, why don't you take a moment to talk about the upcoming teleseminars? We've got one on January 11th, which is how to get started and finished writing your book in 2010. And then the other one is on January 25th, which is how to get your book successfully published. And would you just give a little more information about that? And I'm going to go in and extend this by about 5 minutes. So I'm going to be offline for a moment while I do that if you want to talk about those items.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to do that. We're going to do another couple of sessions that are going to go into a lot more depth. Really just wanted to give you this as a publishing 101 overview of what it's like, just the full extent of the process as far as creating the manuscript, getting published, and getting your book marketed. For people who are in really in the process of writing, or if you're just in the idea generation part of the process and you're trying to figure out how to get started, our seminar that we're doing on January 11th is really how to get started writing and how to know whether you're writing a marketable book, how to actually work on the process, how to self-edit, all the pieces of the process that I talked about in the marketing, or excuse me, in the manuscript creation part of the process. We're going to go into a lot more depth. So if that's where you are, you might want to attend that session. On the 25th, we're going to go into a lot more depth about the publishing part of the process. So if you're looking for an established commercial publisher, how do you go about doing that? How do you, you know, we talked a little bit about doing a preferred publisher's list, but then didn't get to talk very much about doing a book proposal, what that really takes, or if you're going to self-publish, what is that like for you? What is it like to really go through all those sorts of steps and make sure you're doing it in the way that's going to reduce costs but increase the professionalism and productivity, and using all the team members that you need to hire wisely, how to find them, how to hire them, all of those pieces. So that's in a nutshell what we're going to talk about in the next two sessions, just a lot more practical information, a lot more in-depth about the first two parts of the process. Any questions about that or anything else? Please don't be shy. I love answering questions.
Okay. So one thing I just wanted to point out to everybody is that those next two sessions, you can, there's a, they're going to be $49.99 for each session. And we have them, there's a link on the webinar page that if you follow that link and you sign up between now and Christmas Eve, for both of them, you'll get both sessions for $69 rather than $49.99 each. And for those of you who just want to take one or the other instead of $49.95, we have a special code when you go to the sign-out page of JAN15, so JAN, J-A-N, 1-5, which will get you 15% off of either of the single classes that you want to take. And if you've got questions on any of that, you're welcome to contact me through the website, or you can certainly call me as well. And, Jan, if you have anything else to add, we're about 2 minutes away from this session ending, since I can't find the button to turn on more time.
Well, that I think that's probably enough time. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, if you want to ask me any questions offline that are specific to your book, you can email me at jan@janbking.com, and I'm happy to try to answer any questions that you have. Most people know I also run an organization called eWomen Publishing Network, and you can go to eWomenPublishing.com to take a look at that. And there's more free information and downloads about all these parts of the process, and hopefully things that will be helpful for you and to just incentivize you to pursue this, because I think there's absolutely nothing better for your own self-development than writing a book. You may think it's a product and something you sell, but it just forces you to examine your own ideas and your own thoughts in a way that I don't think anything else does. It's a wonderful thing to have done. It's an achievement you've always got. It's a very meaningful event. So please let me know if there's any way I can help.
Thank you so much, Jan. This has been a fabulous, fabulous presentation. And I wanted to let everybody know that it will be available in about 5 minutes if you want to re-listen to it again. And tomorrow I'll be sending out a final email that will have the slides available in a PDF format. So you're not going to be able to download the slides from the webinar itself. You can always go back and replay the whole thing, recording and the slides.